Live from the KSRM studios on KBT Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2023. Tonight, we feature the candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Board of Education District 7 Central. In studio are candidates Debbie Carey and Diane McRae. During tonight's forum, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here's your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Adriana Hernandez-Santana.
Good evening. Welcome to all our listeners, and thank you for joining us for KSRM's 2023 Candidate Forum Series. Tonight brings us the third installment in our 8-part forum series, which does include 2 forums per night at the 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock hours. So for right now, I would like to welcome Borough Assembly candidate from District 8, Mr. Heath Smith. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Adriana. Thank you for having me here tonight.
No, definitely. Thank you. Ms. Cooper was also invited, but she did have another event, so she cannot unfortunately be here with us. So that means we have you for the full hour. How exciting.
Oh, yes.
All righty. So we're going to do things a little bit differently to our listeners that were listening previously, just because we do only have one candidate in studio right now. The rules, we're going to see what happens. So right now, Mr. Heath, I would just like you to, you know, give us an introduction about yourself, how you came to Peninsula. What's your story?
Well, you know, I became an Alaska resident at birth. So I've been around for a little while. Both sets of my grandparents moved to Alaska in the 50s pre-statehood, and we've laid some pretty deep roots. So my family moved to the Kenai Peninsula in the Homer area in 1974. So that's kind of been the Kenai's been my backyard, so to speak. So I've fished on all the rivers, and I've camped and enjoyed all that God has given us on this green earth here in this area. So I'm really grateful to be called a Kenai Peninsula resident.
Gotcha.
But so I've been married for a number of years. I have 6 kids, 3 grandkids, all Alaskan born. And that's something. My wife was born in Homer. So everything speaks Homer to me and the Kenai Peninsula. So I have a lot of skin in the game when it comes to wanting the best outcomes here, not just today, but in the future.
Gotcha. Thank you for that answer. I appreciate it. So we're going to start with some questions. We're going to start off nice and easy for you. So first question, what's making you decide to run for the Borough Assembly?
Well, I served for 6 years on the Homer City Council, and that really allowed me to, I gained a greater appreciation for the public process and the value of public service is what it comes down to. And, you know, understanding how we interact with the public and how we come to decisions that benefit them in the best way is something that I want to be a part of. And so my experience there showed that I can be a good team player, and we got my body of work there, I think, speaks for itself in relationship to what we were able to accomplish. And I want to bring that to the next level. So I'm actually quite excited about what the assembly and its construction presents as far as an opportunity to get some real progress. And so I want to be a part of that.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. So you were part of the Homer City Council, correct?
Yes.
So how do you believe that, along with, you know, your other skill sets, makes you really qualified for the seat on the assembly?
Well, ultimately, the voters are going to qualify me, right? And so this is my opportunity to make that pitch, I suppose. But I'm an Alaskan. I care. And I want what we do today to make a difference down the line in order to create opportunities for my kids and my grandkids to be a part of this great state and this area. I think we all want our kids to be close by. That doesn't always work out. But we have to be responsible in the way that we spend and budget our money. And the sustainability of our actions creates stability. And that stability is really what's going to be the greatest contributor to opportunity.
Gotcha. All righty. So what's something you believe, what's something you really feel really passionate about that had the biggest impact on the Kenai Peninsula, and why?
What do I believe has the biggest impact on the Kenai Peninsula?
Mm-hmm. Either something that you've seen happen or something that you yourself personally have done.
Well, I mean, look, tourism is a huge impact on the entire Kenai Peninsula. And so that's something that we see front and center in Homer a lot. It happens here on the Kenai River. People come from all around the world to participate in enjoying what, you know, the scenery offers and recreation and hunting, fishing, those types of things. So we have to make sure that we continue to be a good partner with small businesses so that they can thrive and that we don't create regulations that might stifle that ability to thrive. So we have to be a good partner with our small business sector. And so that's one of those things.
So you're saying regulations. What do you mean by that? And what are some concerns of regulations you might see?
Well, one of the ongoing things that have been going on for the last year and a half, and this is, you know, the material site ordinance that has been on the table. And so, you know, there's been a great deal of concern with the gravel pit operators and owners that, you know, that those were too stringent. And it might create barriers to entry for new gravel pits that that would be detrimental to the expansion of our economy and businesses. Because if you look at what gravel's used for, I mean, it's used for putting in roads, driveways, septic systems, foundations. I mean, it's a real integral part if you're talking about the expansion of an economy, because you need to build houses and businesses and roads and all those things as you develop. So that's been a real hot topic. And I think that the mayor's brought forth some good amendments that is making that a little bit more in the middle, to where both sides aren't necessarily happy, but it's something that they have the appetite that they could actually swallow. So,
gotcha. Thank you for that. Alrighty, define the role of a public servant.
Well, ultimately, I think that your biggest charge is to listen. Because you're elected to represent the voice of the people, not your own voice. And so there has to be a relationship that you can develop with those people that elected you so that you can act in their stead from the table. And, you know, I mean, if you look across the Kenai Peninsula, it's very different from Homer to Nikiski to Soldotna. And so we all need to have that voice at the table, but we need to be available and we need to be willing to be open-minded in order to find, you know, the reasonable solutions to the challenges that we face.
How would you personally describe your own voice?
In what regard?
So you're saying that you need to definitely have open communication with the community. How would you then express your concerns to everyone else to let them know, hey, we have these things that we need to address?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that, excuse me. They have to, well, my phone number, first of all, is public. I'm not hiding from anybody. My email is public. And so access is the number one thing, that they know how to get a hold of you. Second, they need to know what other ways that they have to be a participant in the public process. So, and where to find the information so that they know what's going on. I'm more than willing to share, but that's impossible to do on a large scale unless people are tuning in. And so, you know, I'm willing to go to the radio stations. I'm willing to answer my phone calls, my emails, my texts. And so that availability is crucial if you're ever going to have that kind of interaction to where you can have a meaningful outcome. Because quite honestly, what I found on the city council is that a lot of people have opinions, but sometimes they're not very well informed. And that's just the nature of it. Because when you're sitting on the assembly or on a council, you're kind of, you know, the inside baseball. You know all the sausage making that's going on in order to get certain places, and they're not always privy to that information. So them kind of coming forward and asking rather than assuming is a good starting point.
How do you personally choose to say the most informed you can be?
How do I do that?
Yes.
Well, reading. I mean, quite honestly, I mean, that's, you know, you have to tune in to the assembly meeting. I've been to 3 of the last 4 assembly meetings. They have huge packets. I'm attuned to that because I was on the council. Sometimes we had 600-700 page packets that we had to read in order to kind of be on top of our game for a council meeting. And so there's a tremendous amount of material to consume if you want to be informed. And that can't always happen in a 5-minute conversation. So if you want to have the context and a depth of understanding, you have to be willing to read.
All right. Next question. If you had to name just one issue, what, in your opinion, is the most pressing issue that needs to be addressed by the Borough Assembly within the next 3 years?
Well, the most pressing? Well, I mean, we had a balanced budget this last year, which is the first in a little while. But if you look at the projections, we're only a couple years off from having a $10 million deficit. So, I mean, those are going to be number one issues as far as balancing the budget and having some kind of a balance as how we treat our expenditures next to our revenues. So that's always got to be at the top because, you know, we have to run the waste management. We have to fund schools. We have our service areas. We have the hospitals. And you're juggling a lot of balls all at once. But number one, the fiduciary responsibility of any elected official is paramount to everything else. And so making sure you have good information in front of you in order to make the best decisions, especially when it comes to the money, is really key.
All right. What particular issue motivates you and wants you to really serve and work for the Kenai Peninsula Borough as an assembly member?
Well, you know, the first thing that I put on my list was family. So I'm really running for the future. This is the first time I've run for office that I haven't been that I hadn't had this gut punch and I'm like angry almost and frustrated and I'm driven because of a certain project or because of the way people are doing things. And this is about really the love of my family and our community and what we need to do today to lay the foundation for tomorrow. So one thing in particular, it's the whole enchilada. All the things matter because one can spoil the rest. And so you have to look at it holistically. Nothing exists in a vacuum. People love to budget in vacuums, and it just doesn't work that way. Everything has an opportunity cost. Every dollar we spend in one place can't be spent in another.
Gotcha. All right. This is KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920, 92.5 FM and Radio Kenai. Stay tuned. We will have more information and get to hear more about Mr. Heath Smith right after a few short messages.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
Good evening. I'm Liliana Hernandez-Santana, and we are now going to continue with our Borough Assembly candidate. We have Mr. Heath Smith. How are we doing so far?
Excellent. Having a great time.
We make it fun here. All right, so we're going to jump back into some of the questions that we were asking. Just for listeners out there that did miss it, we were asking Mr. Smith why he decided to seek re-election for the Borough Assembly, what potential options and extra assets he may bring to the table, and get to know him as a person. We are now going to jump back in. So, were there any ordinances, resolutions, or issues that you enacted while you were in office that you personally disagreed with?
That I enacted?
Or excuse me, my fault. Okay, that you've seen be enacted that you personally didn't agree with
on the borough level.
Yes.
Oh wow. Well, you know, quite honestly, this to me is about moving forward. You know, on the city council, you know, there's a lot of people that had heartburn over certain things that happened over the course of my time on council, and I'm not about grinding axes. I'm about looking at the road ahead and focusing on what we can do to improve and deliver. And so that if that means changing things that have happened in the past and revisiting them, we can do that. That's our prerogative. That's what we're elected to do. So I'm going to focus on the future. And as for things in the past, they are what they are.
Gotcha. Alrighty, so we're going to jump into now. We're going to go to some of the other questions. What are some issues with our local departments that you personally feel need to be addressed?
Well, I mean, personally, like in Homer, our large waste management site is, you know, we have a transfer site in Homer, and then we have a portion of the landfill down there that is almost capped out. And so I know that the process has already started to start investigating where we can move the next large material site. And so I'm interested in making sure that isn't too far away, but it's a process. You can't just put a dump anywhere. is what it comes down to. I lived in Homer when the dump was down on the ball fields where we play softball now. And so we've you know, transformed that into something that's very utilitarian for the community and useful. I don't know if that's going to be something that's going to be useful that we can do with the dump that we're currently at, but you know, we have to be responsible for that. People are always throwing things away, and so we have to be mindful of what's on the horizon there. As far as the schools, I mean, one of the things that I've noticed over time is that, you know, we get a lot of deferred maintenance, and this isn't unique to the Kenai Peninsula Borough. It's really government in general, is that things typically kind of deteriorate to a point to where they become really expensive to fix. And so I'd be really interested in looking at doing things a little different there, whether it means, you know, looking at better reserves in order to attack those on a schedule that don't become so cost prohibitive. I've talked to people on the school board, and they're concerned about, you know, snow removal and the challenges that creates at some of the schools. One school has all the snow that sheds off right next to their windows, and then they can't even open the windows. And that quite honestly, is an egress problem when it comes to emergency evacuation if there's a fire in the hallway, so to speak. So those are some things that need to be addressed. Homer, West Homer Elementary, if you ever picking up your kids there, and I've picked up a few over the years, you know, you have people in the highway waiting to pull in a line. And I think that needs to be addressed. There is a piece of property that sits next to that school that it's just an idea, but it's something in my mind, and that is we could purchase that and create lanes that created an area for those cars to populate and then come in and cycle through and pick up their kids in a much safer way.
So definitely safety is one of your concerns.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. All righty. So when it comes to level of importance, because, you know, as a potential assembly member, you are going to have a lot of things that you do have to, you know, look at and organize. How are you going to determine what's going to take the highest priority and takes your immediate attention versus somebody that has to unfortunately wait for a little bit?
Well, I mean, we have some mandates, and one of them is education. So, I mean, we're going to have to prioritize that. And that really, and again, that's an eye to the future. And we have to take care of our kids. Education is important. And so that's always going to be on the top. We own two hospitals, and we have some obligations there. And we're talking about community health. So we have to be responsible in the way that we look at how we manage those. And we're big partners, especially with, you know, the South Peninsula Hospital in Homer, as far as how we can get that organization to a point that it provides and pays for itself in a more efficient manner anyway. So that's what I, you know, those are going to be the top priorities. Obviously, we have roads, we have waste management and those types of things. And there's a ton of things that come to you along the way that you're going to have to prioritize in relationship to what's going on then. And that's one of the things I found on city council, is that we would go into each year with our goals, and that's, we had them prioritized, and who knows what's going to happen. There's all kinds of things, like COVID happened. Who could have ever predicted that? And that threw everything on its head. And then everything revolved and set back everything else because of that. So we have to be nimble, and I think that's just part of the job.
So definitely, would you say being a member of the city council has really gotten you prepared for this potential position?
Oh, yeah. And you know, when I came up to the assembly meeting, kind of kicking the tires on trying to figure out if I was going to actually do it, by the time I left, I said, oh, yeah. Yep, I want to do it, and I'm ready. I know I'm capable, and I know where my heart is, and I think that's going to lend to a real valuable voice.
So I got to ask then, what was that key pivotal moment that made you decide, I'm going to do this?
Well, you know, it's not for everybody, I'll say that, and it's just, it was the respectful manner of the assembly members, the mayor, and the way that they were discussing things, and you could tell that they, you know, they were earnest in their approach to doing the people's business. And that's something that I get some fulfillment out of. And so I want to be a part of that process.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for that answer. I do appreciate it. All right. We have Mr. Heath right now, Mr. Heath Smith. He is currently running for the Peninsula Borough. We are going to start getting ready to take our next break. I do want to mention, though, for all listeners that are out there, definitely be sure to visit our website, Radio Kenai. We do have an elections hub. So if there are any candidates that you'd like to know more information about, get to learn more about, definitely check out the website. That's a great resource to have. And also, if you just want to look at some other stories, too, but definitely take a look at that election hub. Like I said before, we do have Mr. Heath Smith up in here. I don't know. Anything else you'd like to say before we take a quick break?
Hey, well, I don't know. Are we getting tuned out here? Oh, 45
no,
seconds.
No, you're fine.
Okay. I'm getting mixed signals here. But anyway, no, it's great to be here, and I'm excited about the opportunity to serve the Kenai Peninsula. I think our future's bright. I really appreciate, really, the attitude of Mayor Michiki and him advocating that this is the people's government. And the more involvement we have on that, the better outcomes we get.
Awesome. Thank you for that. This is KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com. Stay tuned.
From the KSRM studios on KB Trode, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2023. Tonight, we feature the candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly District 8, Homer. In studio are candidates Kelly Cooper and Heath Smith. During tonight's forum, you'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here's your host for tonight's forum on KSRM, Adriana Hernandez-Santana.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us for KSRM's 2023 Candidate Forum Series. We're now going to continue talking to Kenai Peninsula Borough candidate. We have Mr. Heath Smith. How we doing still?
I'm doing great. It's great to be here.
I'm having fun. Alrighty, so we are going to continue in with some more questions. All right, so the community recently had a situation where, also, I'm going to warn you now, these are going to start getting a little tougher right now, so be prepared.
Okay.
All right. The community recently had a situation where a citizen assaulted a trooper that was under the influence, but then he was released that same day only to let the situation occur again later that night. So how would you personally, you know, handle the situation, and what would you do to ensure situations like this don't occur again?
So this was a state trooper. Well, not knowing all the conditions that existed, that led to his release. I mean, I'm really not aware of all of those things to be able to comment. I mean, the legal system has its ways in order to handle these types of things. If he was arrested for an assault of a peace officer and then released, I think I'd want to know why. That was a state offense. And I don't know what judge would have released him under what condition or why. So I would be interested in knowing why he got released and then finding a way to encourage that they may be tightened down on what led to that, because it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, clearly he's a danger. If he's a danger to a peace officer, whether it's a trooper or your local police, then he's clearly probably a danger to just the common citizen.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. All right, next question. Transportation on the Kenai Peninsula. How would you plan to address this and also potentially help make it a little bit better?
Well, transportation for who? What group of people are we talking about? Just in general?
As a general statement, yes.
As a general statement? Well, I drive up from Homer every day to Kenai early in the morning. I contend with the moose. They like to be on the road. I don't know if we can find them their own highway to be on, but they create a lot of problems for motorists, and I see a lot of wrecks, and that's not fun. But you know, I think that the pullouts have been helpful that were installed by the state. Not enough people use those, quite honestly, and that can create its own dangers. But you know, what I've found over the course of time is that we can do a whole lot to help alleviate things, but bad decisions undo the entire effort. And there's been a lot of death on the peninsula this year, which is very sad. So people have to personally take responsibility for their driving habits and not being distracted and traveling, not trying to pass in crazy areas. I mean, the laws are pretty good as far as adding lanes and stuff like that. I don't know. It's costly. It's costly to put in roads. So, I mean, I think that we have to advocate, maybe as a borough we can do that, is do PSAs as far as getting people on board to pay attention to what they're doing when they're out there driving. As winter comes and the ice comes, we need to slow down and adjust to those conditions. And, you know, it's sad when people lose loved ones because of bad decisions.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. We are going to jump into some harder hitting questions. So they are going to be a little longer, so please bear with me. So first question I have, the issue of salt brine on the road has been a heated topic amongst members of our community. Critics have cited this corrosive effect on vehicles and have repeatedly called for the assembly to, you know, try to end the use of the salt brine mixture on winter roads. The assembly, however, has not and seems to be in favor of waiting for the DOT to complete its one-year minimum review of the calcium chloride mixture. Do you personally support this choice by the assembly? Why or why not?
Well, I'll say this, is that, I mean, the amount of evidence that's been brought forward by not just mechanics but car owners that show the corrosive effects on this that really far have been accelerated over what's been seen in the past with the normal condition, the way that the state has maintained the roads with sand, with salt in mixed in there. So, you know, what people are asking for is a resolution to go to the state to ask them to end it. And, you know, if we have that much of an outcry of the people, then I think we should be responsive to that. You know, I drive that road all the time, and, you know, depending on the temperature, you go through peaks and valleys, and where that stuff sprayed, all you have to do is go through a valley where it's 10 degrees colder, and that could be black ice where they laid that stuff. And so there's a danger to that on top of the corrosive efforts that come out of it. So I'm in favor of supporting the voice of the people. As far as the DOT bringing forward this one-year study, I would say we've already had 6 years of study, and the results speak for themselves. And so, you know, I understand that the DOT is in a tough position, largely because they've got a whole winter season's worth of this salt brine sitting at their facilities. And how do you make that change at this point in time? It becomes a budgetary issue. So I get it, but you know, safety is ultimately really the flag that they're flying. Then I think that, you know, failing brake lines, creating black ice, and those things, those are safety issues too. So I think that, you know, when they first came out with it, I was like, well, let's see what happens. And we have. And so now I think it's time for the state to just make a hard decision, which should be an easy one. And that's serve its people.
I'm sensing a theme that you are having. You've mentioned a couple of times safety. You know, I'm going to ask you this. What does safety personally, you know, mean to you? What does it mean to the peninsula? What does safety mean?
Well, the cost that comes on the other side of doing things that aren't safe, they're immeasurable. I mean, it could be the loss of life, the quality of life. It could mean the inability to do things in respect to not get to Kenai in the morning. I'm, you know, back in the day when I first started, I started driving for UPS 26 years ago, and I drove a little coffin on wheels is what I called it. They're really squirrely. It didn't have power steering. I sat on a post. I mean, it was, and the wipers didn't work. How many times I came up here with just looking through a little crack of where the wipers went, and I look back at that, and I was like, well, I was insane. But it was my job, right? And so a lot of people do things out of necessity and without any other option. So when it comes to safety, I think it's incumbent on the borough to make sure that we have safe roads, and we're partners with the state. And so, I mean, that looms large. But ultimately, again, we have to advocate that people make good decisions and that they conduct themselves in ways that don't put themselves or others in danger, too. It might be inconvenient, might take you longer, But ultimately, you get to go home to your family at night.
Mm-hmm. I got you. I'm going to ask you this other one real fast. So yesterday, Governor Mike Dunleavy was present in Kenai, and they did sign the Kenai Bluff Stabilization Project. Can I just ask your thoughts about that?
It's great. It's overdue. So I think it's awesome.
Gotcha. I can understand that. From what I heard, it was like a 60-year project up and coming. So definitely good to hear.
Well, look, Alaskan coastline, it erodes. I mean, we see it in Homer. We had to put Armor Rock on the spit. And right now, because that Armor Rock creates its own erosive effects downstream. And so we see increased erosion further down the spit because of what that creates as far as energy. And even when we put up there on Bay Avenue, we put up a seawall. And that has failed. And now even with the rock that's been put in there to bolster that up, it transfers energy further down. So, you know, the erosion that is created through wave action and Mother Nature, it's undeniable. And so doing what we can to preserve the coastline is going to be important.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. All listeners out there, this is Mr. Heath Smith. He is currently running for Kenai Peninsula Borough. When we come back, we will have some more questions, some deeper questions, and just see what else we need to talk about. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
And welcome back. You have found KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023. We are on KSRM 920, 92.5 FM, and also RadioKenai.com. We are currently having this forum with potential candidate Kenai Peninsula Borough. Say hi.
Howdy, howdy.
There you go. Sorry, kind of threw you on the spot, Mr. Smith. I was like, threw you the ball.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, you're fine. I got too excited. Alrighty, so we are going to keep continuing with some questions and, you know, see what else we got at the end. Have some more fun with this.
Excellent.
Alrighty, next question that I have for you. The Borough Assembly chose to pass a resolution in support of the State Board's education resolution to restrict biological males from competing in girls' athletics. Some criticized this action by the Assembly was unnecessary, citing that it was an issue raised by the Boards of Education and that the Assembly was stepping out of its lane by taking time to draft a resolution within its support. How do you respond to this criticism?
Well, you know, I don't think that the Assembly is in the business of micromanaging, but I think that there's some larger issues that can't be ignored. And, you know, I support that action. So I would have been on board with it. And I don't think that it was bad form at all.
Okay. What are some other, going on a side note, what are some other big actions in other situations that you feel like we need to take more action on, for lack of better words?
Well, honestly, you know, a lot of people have talked to me about, like, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm like, okay. But, you know, there's certain things that we can affect change on, and there's certain things we can't. We can have feelings about them and we can have opinions, but you know, when it comes to the schools, I want to see people become more involved in, like, the school board, in the site councils, in those types of things, their PTAs. I mean, these people all really are at the ground level of education, and they have the greatest ability to impact outcomes in relationship to how that plays out. So while the Assembly plays a larger role and works downward, all those people work upward, and they have the greatest impact. And so that's one thing that I'd really like to be an advocate for, is making sure that people understand the value of being involved at that level, whether it's on the commissions or boards. And we need those voices, quite honestly, because they come from all walks of life, and they come in with a lot of different perspectives that are an added value that I appreciate.
So you're appreciating other voices coming in to, you know, give you the full scope of situations.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's one of our biggest charges, is to be open-minded, to find, you know, reasonable paths forward. And, you know, if you're dogmatic about it, I think that's a closed-minded approach to governing a broad spectrum of beliefs and people. And, you know, I think some level of compromise is absolutely necessary if you're going to serve the greater good.
So as a member or a potential member of the Kenai Peninsula Borough, you obviously are going to have some people that, like you said, are going to be very, you know, set in their ways, and they want to, you know, see it either one way or the highway. So how are you going to ensure that whatever you choose to pursue and make things better, how can you get that message across to them, but also realize that this is a win for everyone?
Great question, because it's not always an easy thing to do. And I think that when it comes to drafting policy, it's very nuanced. And so helping people understand both sides of the story, and that there is middle ground, and that you can be okay with that, and should be okay with that, quite honestly. You know, I think everybody kind of has their hard no's and possible yeses. And understanding why those things are and talking that through, sometimes they become a little softer on the other side and more agreeable. And that's a process. And that's what the public process is about, in my mind.
All right. I'm going to ask you a similar question to before, tying in with this one. So has there ever been a situation where you personally were very, you know, whole heart in a certain either a belief or a situation where not everyone agreed with you? And if so, how did you handle that situation? And how can you use what you learned then to, you know, move forward and help everyone else?
Well, I guess what really got me into the city council was that they had created a task force in Homer to kind of find a path forward to create a public safety campus. And it was at the tune of a good $34 million. And of course, that raised my eyebrow a little bit. And I was like, what is going on here? What crazy pill did somebody take? And so I went back and I started reading the minutes of these meetings. And some very troubling things were in those minutes. And then I became angry. And then I went down and filed my paperwork to run for city council. And then by some stroke of luck, I got elected. And so then I went about engaging in the process to change that mentality and really start looking at what was reasonable and affordable and really kind of provided for a reasonable future in relationship to public safety. And, you know, we went from that whole grandiose plan down to a $7.5 million project, which took time and took a lot of bridging the gaps. And I even moved. So, you know, I was dead set on a $6 million project, but through a great process, you know, I was able to move up to that 7.5. So that was a personal experience, but I really think that we have to be open to a process that allows us to kind of unpack all the elements and see what really is reasonable and unreasonable.
Alrighty. Next question I have for you. So it's my understanding that the school board works alongside the borough when it comes to funding. Is that safe to say?
Well, yeah. I mean, we appropriate and then they do all the budgeting. So
I got you. So then I guess my question is, so Senator Jesse Bjorkman recently stated that the funding for education was down a substantial amount, $300 million actually, since 2015. So if you're elected, how can parents see a change in the funding? You know, what can we do about that?
Well, if you're talking on the legislative side, in the House and Senate, that's something that they have to engage with their legislators on if they're going to see any increase on the state side. You know, as far as for the borough, I mean, we have a cap. So we can only fund to a certain amount, and then we're done. And that's by state statute. So we funded to the cap this last time. I don't see any way around it the next time. We looked at a sizable deficit there. So, you know, I'm willing to support educating our kids, and we're going to do our part. We're going to fulfill our obligation.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. Let's see. What else do I have? I have some other questions for you. All right. So, next one that I'm going to have for you, just personally, I understand that your candidate is not here right now. So I don't know if you had to ask her a question about her, you know, her campaign, what would you like to ask her?
Well, one of my policies really in campaigning is that I focus on what I'm bringing to the table And, you know, I know Kelly, I've known her for years. She's a good person, and she's been on the assembly. She termed out, and, you know, she's had her opportunity. And what I really appreciate about the voters in them enacting term limits is that they saw the value in extending the opportunity to others to participate on this level. And so I think that I want to take advantage of that. I'm a different flavor. I may not disagree with Kelly on a lot of things, but there's definitely, I think that I'd bring a different level of conversation to the table. And I know that I'm prepared and I'm capable of doing that. So I'm going to focus on what I can do and get the best outcomes out of that. You know, one of the things that I've said before, and I'll say it again, is that, you know, the last three assembly members that we have had have come off of either the hospital operating board or the area service board for the hospital. And to me, I think it's time that we start to kind of build relationships outside of that organization that can serve on the assembly and be champions for them. I think it broadens the appeal and the ability to pass bonds as we try to improve that facility and those services down there. And I'm ready to do that for them.
All right. So definitely something you really sound like you want to focus on is building a lot of those relationships with all these, you know, all these other members of the community.
Absolutely. And I've been in Ryan Smith's office, the CEO of South Peninsula Hospital. I've visited with Superintendent Holland. I've visited with the HEA board members. I've visited with the school board president, Debbie Carey. I've talked to other people that are involved in these things. And one of the common themes that I've heard from them is that we need to collaborate. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to all be on the same page, because that means we all move forward. And really, that's what I'm most interested in.
Sounds like you want to get a win for everyone.
Absolutely.
All right. We are getting ready to start wrapping things up. I do want to give you the opportunity to offer a closing statement. So things that you're about, things that you're passionate about, things that you want to see change within the Kenai Peninsula Borough that you personally feel you can change. What do you got?
Well, what I personally feel is that I can be a member of a team that is committed to working for the people, and that we're going to listen and we're going to act in a way that we can achieve a common goal. And that is to really build a future that's stable for not just us today, but for our kids and our grandkids, and they can be proud to call this place home. And so I'm interested in a process that brings everybody together and gets results.
That was really sweet, actually. That was like touching. All right, I guess one slight little question. What's gonna make this place home for everyone else coming here?
Well, you know, I left, you know, Alaska currently has the Alaska Performance, they have the Performance Scholarship, they have the Alaska Grant Fund, and I mean, those are all keyed on keeping people here in the school system, in higher education within the state. I personally left the state, and I think the most of our kids leave. They want to see something and experience something different, but I used the Alaska Student Loan Program back in the day, where if you came back, you could get 10% of that forgiven up to 50%. And I took advantage of that. And I think that we need to create opportunities for them to leave, but incentivize them coming back. I think, you know, expanding their worldview and experience is a good thing for Alaska. And ultimately, it's going to be easier for them to call this place home when they go somewhere else and say, hey, that wasn't so bad.
Alrighty, Mr. Heath-Smith, thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it. All the listeners out there, Mr. Heath-Smith, candidate for Borough Assembly District 8 in Homer. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will be back tomorrow for, you know, more forums, get to meet more candidates. And also, if you'd like to find out more, be sure to visit our elections hub at kenairadio.com. This is KSRM's coverage of Decision 2023 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM.